Introduction. For as William Dean Howells once noted, inequality is as dear to the American heart as liberty itself, and it is only a step from this to arrive at something which passes muster for a society definition of America, that all men may be born equal, but most of us spend the better part of our born days in trying to be as unequal as we can. Cleveland Amory, Who Killed Society? When I was 6, my father took me to Grand Central Station in New York to see the imposing bronze statue of my great-great-great-grandfather, Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt. It stands high on a pedestal on the south side of the train terminal he founded within sight of Vanderbilt Avenue and a hotel that back then was also named after him. I knew little about the Vanderbilt dynasty. My mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, rarely talked about her tumultuous childhood or the fractious family she was born into in 1924. My father, Wyatt Cooper, grew up on a small farm in Mississippi during the Depression, about as far from the palatial homes of the Vanderbilts as you can imagine. But he wanted me to understand my mom's extraordinary history and her complicated feelings about it. When we went to see the statue, my dad told me that the Commodore was a tough businessman and an unforgiving father, and that when he died, he was the richest person in America. I'm sure he told me more, but I don't remember. I was, after all, only 6. I do recall, however, that for weeks after our visit, I was convinced that all grandparents turned into statues when they died. For much of my life, I wanted nothing to do with the Vanderbilts. I know and very much like the few Vanderbilt cousins I've met, but I never wanted to look too closely at the history of the family. I felt it had no bearing on my life. The Vanderbilt dynasty disappeared long ago, and my parents made sure I understood early on that there was no Vanderbilt money or trust fund I'd be inheriting when I became an adult. They wanted me to be my own person, and I'm grateful to them for that. I don't think I would have been as driven as I've been if I'd grown up believing there was a pot of gold somewhere waiting for me. I've always gone out of my way to avoid mentioning my relation to the Vanderbilts. When someone would find out and ask me what was it like to grow up a Vanderbilt, my response was always the same. I don't know, I'd say. I'm a Cooper. That is how I viewed myself, and still do. I look to my father's large family with its deep roots in the Mississippi earth, and I've taken their American story as my own. But my mom's death in 2019 and the birth of my son Wyatt in 2020 began to change my perspective. In the weeks after she died, I began going through dozens of boxes stored away in her apartment and her art studio. They were filled with journals and documents and letters. She saved everything. Handwritten notes from her Aunt Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney and schoolbooks my grandfather Reginald Vanderbilt doodled in as a child. I found old wills and financial records, and as I read the contents of these files stained by time and mold, I began to hear the voices of those people I never knew. They were more than just characters in a history book, more than just one-dimensional members of an American dynasty. They were complex, flush with desire, their inner lives far more compelling than their public personae would have us believe. When my son was born, I began to wonder, what will I tell him about them? What do I hope he learns from the lives they led and the choices they made? In order to answer those questions, I began researching these people I had avoided for so long, this family, my family. The Vanderbilt story somehow manages to be both unique and also deeply, universally American. It's a saga of wealth and success and individualism, but as it turns out, those aren't necessarily the universal goods our culture likes to believe they are. A few central myths appear again and again in Americans' popular imagination. That success is available to anyone who's willing to work hard, for example, and that success is worthier of celebration if it's achieved alone, without help, as if any success were truly achieved solely alone. Even the self-made Commodore got a crucial early loan from his mother when he was 16. We still catch ourselves subscribing to this Horatio Alger-esque celebration of entrepreneurship, of individualism, and by extension of wealth. We somehow simultaneously believe that we are all the same, all created equal, and yet we secretly suspect that the rich are somehow more special, that they have something figured out that the rest of us don't know. We see this embedded